The following is a debate between incumbent Richard Alkenbright and challenger and City Council President Ronald Boucher, recorded at MCLA Church Street Center on Friday, October 21st, 2011. The hour-long debate was hosted by the North Adams Transcript and the Berkshire Chamber of Commerce and is brought to you here by iBerkshires.com.
Development. I think probably the most important thing when we talk about economic development and jobs is the image of a community. I think that plays a very, very big part in everything. It's how you sell your community to others outside of this area. We talk about the mayor is probably the best salesman the city has. And I just refer to an article that was in the Boston Sunday Globe on Sunday, July 31st. And it depicted North Adams as one of the poorest communities in Western Massachusetts. And the mayor was asked where are the financial efforts of the city was at between good and horrible. And he said, we're a little less than horrible. If we were or not, it's just an image that I think the mayor needs to stand up and say, listen, we've been through our challenges. We've had challenges and we're moving forward. I think that if businesses and people from outside this area are reading that article, they get the impression that, hey, why would I want to come to North Adams to start a business and bring a family?
I'll address specifically that the concern about the financial condition of the city, and I will not apologize for the comment that I made in the Globe. And in no uncertain terms, did I make it with any kind of ill will for anything against the city. I think I was asked by the reporter to rate the financial condition of the city from good to horrible, and I did say it was below horrible, and it is. Our financial condition is not good. If anyone thinks it is, then I'm sorry, but it's just not. We are in horrible financial shape, and we're getting better. We are getting better, despite many things. And in order to do that, I reduced the structural deficit I inherited in the FY10 budget from $2.3 million to just about $422,000 in two short cycles. So we're getting better. I restructured city debt last year, saving thousands and thousands of dollars on city debt. I've saved $80,000 annually by restructuring the health insurance, cleaning up the health insurance that was being given to ineligible people. I've saved $50,000 more by taking over the city water plant and direct cost savings there. And in doing all this, I was able to maintain our bond rate.
Great. That's not good.
Thank you.
Your response. Yeah. you mentioned the water treatment plant. I really don't believe there's actual savings there. We really look at the retirement and pensions in there. We figured that we didn't figure in pensions and health insurance in there when we figured the final savings there on the water bills.
Are you asking me that?
No, I'm saying that wasn't taken into consideration in total savings. I don't think there's any savings with bringing it in house. Thank you. Mr. Alkenbright will now give his response to the same question. In the face of dwindling state aid, what are your plans to address the city's future budget concerns, and what will be your approach to the city's tax rate?
I think by doing continue to do exactly what I'm doing. I think fiscal prudence has been a good part of my responsibilities so far. I do want to add one thing quickly, though. Full cost analysis was done on the water plant. It did include personnel and it did include benefits. When we get back to the tax situation, you know, last year was a very, very bad year with respect to having to raise the taxes, to raise the levy, to increase revenues, but we also shrunk the budget. And I'm going to stand by this. You'll probably hear me say it ad nauseum tonight, but we shrunk this budget over a two-year cycle by a net of 3.2%. We've cut close to $3 million out of our budgets over the past two cycles. Yes, we've added revenues, but in order to make the budget balance, we've had to do that. I will continue to do those things. I'll continue to look at ways we can find cost savings. I'll look at ways we will be able to cut our budgets if in fact that's the case. I'll continue to manage costs. I'll continue to look at the revenue side of the equation. I do not think that you can do one without the other. That does not mean I'm a tax monger. Last year was an anomaly. This year we may see taxes go up 3.5%.
Excuse me, doesn't he get 30 seconds? Not 2 minutes?
I'm answering the question.
It's the format is taking turns.
It's 30 seconds, right?
It's not a republic. The format is taking all the question to his, and we might be the same back and forth.
How much time did I have?
A minute.
You have right now 45 seconds left.
45 seconds left. So I guess just to close this out, I think over the last 2 years, people have seen my fiscal responsibility firsthand. We've done it. We've provided information. We've educated the council. We've educated the public. We had well over, I think my first budget session, we had well over 13 or 14 meetings, public meetings on the budget. And I think we're just going to continue to provide information, keep people in the loop, and have people understand just what we're doing for the economy of the city.
Thank you. Your rebuttal, Mr. Richard.
Could you repeat that question for me, please?
Of course. It's a rebuttal to what he has just responded to. In the face of dwindling state aid, what are your plans to address the city's future budget concerns? And what will be your approach to the city's tax rate? This is your 1 minute rebuttal to Mr. Alkenbright's following response.
Jobs, jobs, jobs. We need economic development. I'll keep hitting on this all night. It's so important. As a mayor, as a leader of the community, you have to have a vision and a plan. I don't see a plan coming from this administration. I put forward, in our kickoff, we put forward a plan for this city. And part of this plan was the revitalization of the Mohawk Theater for a for-profit organization to tap the $2.2 million in historic tax credits. We talked about developing the Monument Square Business District, which encompassed the reusing of the vacant churches in Conti Middle School. It'll provide new jobs, new business, and it'll preserve the historic properties in that area. Very, very important.
Thank you. Your response, Mr. Alkenbright?
Well, if we look directly at jobs, I just want to use this. I think if we quote the Boston Globe, I believe it was on August 9th or August 2nd, the North Adams Transcript, where they reported Councilor Bouchier, we had 110 jobs on the hook coming from WCW over Hoosick Falls, a mattress manufacturer. Mr. Boucher basically said that we announced it too quickly. We had to announce it quickly in order to put the tax agreement in front of the public. That was a public process. He also said we didn't do our due diligence, but I don't believe he was at the meeting, but we spent an hour and a half with the Finance Committee going over all the due diligence of this company.
Mr. Alkenbright, your time is up.
Thank you.
What are your proposals to increase revenues for the city to alleviate future budget shortfalls?
Well, again, I think one of the things that we need to do that hasn't been done for a good many years is to take and review completely city fees. We have, and that's everything from building department fees to curb cut fees to anything. I think we need to look at fees all through the city, the entire city structure. One of the things that does is it does increase revenues, but it really doesn't hit everybody everywhere all the time because these are all typically user fee type issues. So I think one of the things that we want to do is do a complete look at fees within the city. We are very much under our neighboring communities with respect to many of our fees. So that's one thing is we need to look at fees. I think the other thing we need to do is just, again, cost-saving measures. How do we continue to find ways to create efficiencies? Right now, I'm looking at a model. Our treasurer resigned. We're looking at a model that possibly will save the city $30,000 by putting a different type of a model, a different type of infrastructure within city financial government. I think there are certainly other ways. Certainly we have to hold the line on right now on hiring, and we really have to wait and see what happens with the economy. I think we have to wait and see how the economy bounces back. We're having, right now you're seeing the market is very volatile still.
But again, the state came through with the possibility of some additional revenues, and we're hoping that we'll be, you know, flat funded again next year. So again, flat funded this year as opposed to what cuts, the massive cuts that we've been seeing over the last year or so. So I think it's a combination of fees, cuts, not necessarily cuts, but fees, tempering of our spending, and then see what the state will come through with for us over the next couple of cycles.
Thank you. Your response?
Thank you. You know, Mayor, you talked about fees, and the remember that the Board of Health had some fee increases, and basically you told them no. And I think the statement made by one of the people on the Board of Health said that you told them it would be political suicide if these increases went through, and you asked them, No, you're not increasing speeds. And correct me if I'm wrong on that. I also believe we need to continue to look at government, and we need to make the cuts that are necessary. There's a lot of fat still there, believe it or not, and we need to look long and hard at our opportunities to make it a little bit tighter. We need to do more or less. Unfortunately, we do. So, thank you. Your response?
Yeah, as far as the Board of Health fees are concerned, the Board of Health set fees, and basically what I asked them to do was roll those fees back because they were higher than what I had anticipated. As a matter of fact, I quite honestly didn't even know that the Board of Health had approved those fees until after they were approved. So we did roll fees back. As far as finding the fat in city government, unless you look at my office, there's not a lot of fat things around there. We've really struggled to make sure that there really is no fat left in the city officer.
Mr. Boucher, same question.
Do you need me to repeat the question?
No.
I'll go back. I'm going to go back to the Board of Health. They went as far as the print, the new speech schedule, so you had to be aware of that. As mayor, everything that goes through there should go to the mayor's office. I would think it would work. That's okay. I just wanted to make a point that, you know, I believe, as you were aware, of the fee structure ahead of time. And when I asked you a question before, did you or did you not say it'd be political suicide if those fees went through?
Yes, when I saw the fees that were printed, I did not know the fees. When I saw the fees that were printed, I said, this is political suicide. We have to roll these things back, which we did. So it was just a matter of, no, I did not know what those fees were. They were printed. I did get a complaint. What I got a complaint was when the first billing went out in January, several restaurateurs called me up and said, my God, my license to operate, my alcohol, my whatever was fees associated with the health department, they doubled or they tripled. And so I went back to the health department, we figured it out, we went back, we rolled back some fees, we refunded some of our businesses. We reprinted the schedule. So no, I did not know that. Yes, it was. I'm sure I made the statements. Of course it is. Political suicide. They were huge. And they were wrong. We fixed them.
Thank you. Your response?
What I'm saying is this. You talked about empowering boards in the city. And the thing I'll go back to again, if you're going to empower boards to do their job, let them do their job. We talk about revenues. Revenues are important to the city. And I, as mayor, would let these individuals do their job.
Thank you. Mr. Albright, you'll be the first to, Mr. Boucher, you'll be the first to answer the following question. What do you think is the best way to approach the school building project, and why is this formula the best move for the city, its students, and their families?
Okay, school building project. That's a funny and touchy subject. But my belief here is this. When any successful downtown, you need to build your neighborhoods. From outside in, you have successful downtown. What's important, I believe, in neighborhood schools.
I know people of Quebec say you were at the building meeting and you said you came out and you supported a two-school plan. And I'll go back to that. And Councilor Martin and Councilor Lamar were there, and they talked about the best bang for your buck was to build a two-school plan. And I also mentioned to the architects that I really doubted that the Mass School Building Association would support a two-school project. And they would come back to us with a single school plan. And then coming back to us with a single school plan would probably require a debt exclusion override, which I don't believe would pass. We had a $1.2 million override that failed miserably. Granted, an override and debt exclusion override are two separate entities, but I don't believe it would have the support. So going back to the neighborhood school concept, I think this is this community was built upon. Neighborhood schools, sending your kids to school close to home. I don't believe that Conti Middle School is a place to send your young children. I'm a firm believer in the neighborhood school concept, and I hope it stays that way.
Thank you. Your response?
Well, as far as Conti not being a good place to send kids, I guess we've been sending there for 140 years or something with respect to the school being a school. So I'm still, I'll use this other term, like spending political collateral. I've done a lot of that over the last couple of years, and I think it hasn't been a good thing for many reasons. But I'm going to expend some more tonight because I'm going to stick with the plan that the school building committee has supported unanimously twice through this process, and that is a two-school option. Now, we haven't decided, no decisions have been made yet as to what those buildings are. No decisions have come back from the state yet as to whether or not we're going to be able to have both those buildings. But the school building committee and the school committee has endorsed a two-school option for the city of North Adams. Thank you.
Thank you. Your response?
Mayor, I believe that last school building committee meeting, you endorsed a single school project. And I remember Councilor Martin was very surprised when the school building committee overruled you and went with a two-school option. And then the school committee supported that same option. So you came out and you supported a single school option, and you were overruled by the building committee for a two-school option, and the school committee supported a two-school option.
Thank you. Mr. Albright, it is now your turn to answer the same question.
Okay, thank you very much. I've answered some of it, but I want to talk about the one building option that I... When we went to the second meeting or the third meeting of the second round of discussions about school buildings, I went into the school building committee and I said, the easy thing to do, the politically correct thing to do, everybody's in support of one school. One school is a slam dunk. It'd be $30 million. We wouldn't have to do a debt exclusion override. It would be just a matter of location. It would more than likely be easily accepted and responded to well by these Mass School Building Assistants, Mass School Building folks. I said, so don't feel tonight like you're pigeonholed into this two-school option. You need to do what's right for the kids, but don't feel like you're pigeonholed into that. So what I was really doing was I wasn't backing off anymore. What I was doing is I was basically trying to give the school building committee the feeling that no matter what they did, it would be a good, right thing to do for the community. They unanimously, after that, we called for votes, and unanimously, they did not vote me, they didn't do it, they unanimously decided on a two-school solution for the kids of the city. Okay, so that was kind of the crux of what I went in with. I went in so the school building committee would feel as though they had a plausible option. Thank you.
Thank you. Your response?
That whole process, to go back to that whole process, when you guys left Sullivan Elementary School that evening, you said we need to really look at this and refocus on this and come back to the community. Well, when you came back to the community, you guys didn't bring it back out to Great Elk Elementary School or Sullivan Elementary School or Drury High School. You brought it back to Conti Middle School at two meetings. And I don't think that was fair. I think that should have been brought back out to the communities to let them hear and get their true feeling on it. I think that was wrong. There was two meetings scheduled and that was it. And no one knew about it and both took place. I think that was wrong.
Thank you. Your response?
Yes. Meetings were fully published, they were fully publicized. They were at Conti Middle School because it was central for no other reason. That's where they were. People didn't show up. People just didn't show up. And so we voted as a school building committee to adopt the two-school option. These meetings were publicized, they were public, and they were in a central location in the city.
Thank you.
Mr. Alkenbright, this question starts with you. What do you foresee to be the future for the city's police and fire department organization and staffing levels?
Thank you. I see the police and I see public safety, at least in my lifetime, stable and as it is. 2 years ago, as we saw when I came into this campaign 2 years ago, we knew that the crime was in a sense on the rise in the city of North Adams. We have one of the highest per capita arrest rates in the Commonwealth. What we did was we found money through the Verizon 911 grant. We utilized those monies to pay our dispatchers, pulled the dispatcher salaries out of the budgets, and we put in three, maybe four new officers. We put cops on bikes in the city again this year for the first time in probably 4, 5, 6 years. We had cops in the neighborhoods, we had cops on our fields on bikes. It was a very good feeling. We have more cops on patrol as a result of that, particularly on the weekends when the community is most at risk. And so the public safety to me is paramount to many, many things. As far as the fire department is concerned, I am fully supportive of, I always have been and always will be, of a full-time, full-service fire department. We have currently 24 firefighters on duty on staff, I believe, and I believe those staffing levels are also adequate and should remain the same. When we look at public safety in this community, particularly fire safety, we have most of our housing stock was built prior to 1939. They're all built very close. We have a hospital to protect. We have this college to protect. We have high-rise housing. We have a museum. We have many things that are just in need of protection, need of immediate response. I think any way of turning back the public safety that we currently have in place, how it's managed is another thing. But turning back the numbers on what's in place, I think is just a very, very bad move for this community.
Thank you. Your response.
Thank you.
Over my past 12 years on council, I've been a big supporter of public safety. I think now more than ever, on the police end, we need that coverage in our neighborhoods. With the rise in small crimes and drugs, we need to be that presence, especially throughout our neighborhoods. I'd like to see the policemen on the beat on Main Street and more police within the neighborhoods. I think more than ever, we need that coverage. As for the fire department, you know, there's a presumption out there that I'm looking to cut the fire department or eliminate full-time firefighters, and that's not the truth. I think they play a vital role in this city. But as time goes on, we're not a city of 20,000 people anymore. We're probably a population of 12,600, 12,700, somewhere in there. If our population continues, can I stop you? Okay. Your response?
Well, I would just say that I'm more of an optimist. I don't always assume that things are going to continue to shrink. I'd like to think that over time, in the right economic circumstances, and with the right management leadership, that we will grow. Not only that, but even if we do shrink, if our population went to 10,000 tomorrow, we have no less to protect. We have no fewer roads to plow. We have no fewer buildings to protect. We would still have a hospital. We would still have a college. All of those things are there. So my commitment is to full-time, full-service fire and certainly police at the levels that we currently have.
Thank you. Mr. Boucher, it is now your turn to answer the same question.
It's great to be able to have a full-time fire department if we can afford it. No one knows what the future brings. Over the last 10 years, our population hasn't increased, it's been decreasing. All I'm saying is right now, the model we have is working, but we need to look at it down the road. We've talked about this. The model of how we do business has changed. We need to look at a new model, and it may take to look at maybe instituting
the fire department with some paid volunteers as we go on. That's something down the road. That's not going to happen right away. We're talking 5, 6, 7, 8 years down the road. That's something we need to look at. Thank you. Your response.
Okay, thank you. I think if we, if you're talking about a volunteer fire department whatsoever, you probably have to be talking about, as you said, a paper call type of thing. When you talk about paper call, you're incurring expenses. You still have to have somebody typically at the station. The other thing is, if you think about fire safety in the city of North Adams, you could not support, my own personal opinion is you could not support fire safety at any kind of a level that we've come to expect on a volunteer basis unless you had a substation out in the West End. So now you've got additional infrastructure costs. If we reduce our cost by $1 million, okay, that's $1 on the tax rate. On the average house, it's about $135 a year. And you would see an increase in your homeowner's insurance expenses. So, I mean, what are the trade-offs here? There just isn't enough to talk about, in my mind, that really warrants the fact that we would do away with full-time fire safety.
Thank you. Your response? I'm not talking about getting rid of full-time fire safety. I'm talking about keeping a base of full-time employees and just, as through attrition, replacing them with paid volunteers. I don't think it calls for a substation in the West End. We can operate out of an existing building, and I think we can supply adequate safety. I look like Council Adams, Council Bennington. We have just building colleges, hospitals, as we do here, and we require volunteer systems. I'm not going to stop you.
Mr. Boucher, you'll be the first to respond to the following question. What are your plans to utilize the Mohawk Theater on Main Street, and how will those strategies benefit the city?
Okay, thank you. I think the Mohawk Theater plays a huge role in our economic development and revitalization of downtown North Adams. I believe that it needs to be turned over to a for-profit organization to access the $2.2 million in historic credits. This will play a huge role in our downtown. I know the mayor has talked about partnering up with MCLA and MOCA. I believe a private concern needs to take this and run with it. We have unlimited potential here. We can hold digital feed concerts, live concerts. We can install learning labs. We can have music festivals. There's all kinds of possibilities here that will increase foot traffic. You have more people, they spend more money. We'll have the opportunity maybe to open more restaurants, business opportunities for people. It's a win-win-win for North Adams, and I think it's very, very important that it's turned over for a proper organization. I really do. I think we'll get the tax revenues and everything that comes with it. Thank you.
Thank you. Your response?
I would agree in one sense, is that I would look at that possibly as a sustainable model. And the only thing that I'm talking about, my comments later when I get the question will be is what I think is a sustainable model. So a sustainable model would work. My problem is theaters, community theaters all over the country are having trouble right now. They're all losing money. Even our neighbors, the Colonial, the Haley, Barrington, they're all having a tough time. Dollars that were out there for community theaters are drying up. As a matter of fact, they're just about dried up because of the fact that these theaters are just not doing well. So I'll be talking in a minute when I get the questions to what I think my idea is and how I think it will work and how I think it will be sustainable.
Thank you. Your response?
Again, I go back and I just think the potential is unlimited. We're not talking about showing movies. We're going to make this like the Colonial Theater in Pittsfield, which has been very, very, very successful. We can hold more than just movies. We can hold all kinds of events in here. It can be a multicultural center. It's the potential is unlimited there, and I think it'd be a great thing for downtown and the economy.
Thank you. Mr. Albright, it's now your turn to answer.
Thank you. Well, the Colonial, in my mind, from what I know, is struggling badly. But I won't get into that. I was Colonial, but I think I could. For over a year, I've been in contact with a smaller group that we've been working with community members, particularly MCLA and MOCA. And my vision here, working with MCLA and MOCA, be working on a project and design thing of a very sustainable and now a much less expensive model whereby we could go in and almost within a year get the theater open by partnering. This is a highly sustainable model that commits the Mohawk to community theater and community use, but also proposes to have it become an off-campus learning facility for college. We're talking about a theater that now will become the learning center for MCLA's School of Fine and Performing Arts and their arts management majors, where students can come to the college or come to the Mohawk and actually learn at the Mohawk, do theater in a real live venue. And buildings next door could be used for student housing, faculty housing, shops. Scene shops and classroom venues. So I think partnering with MCLA, so many great partnerships have happened with MCLA. It takes the management piece off the city, something that the city should not be doing, and it creates a highly sustainable model. It creates a campus within the campus off campus within the downtown. It would bring incredible life every single day to the community.
Thank you. Your response?
Again, I go back to tax-based revenue, too. You know, here's the problem. If MCLA or Mohawk partner, they're nonprofits. They don't have the ability to capture those $2.2 million in historical profits. I think that's very, very important.
Thank you. Your response.
And if I may, I think this is a project that we could do for under $5 million to get this thing off the ground. Any other project before it has been labeled at least $12 million. The $2.2 million in credits just kind of go out the window in my mind. I think a strong partnership with the college, bringing the college downtown, will bring immediate life of energy into the downtown. It will provide for community theater and will give a place for a community of counselors partnering with MOCA. And I just think that is the best and most viable solution at this point in time. It's worked great. Look at Emerson College when you go online. Go online and look at Emerson College in Boston.
Mr. Albert, I probably have to stop you.
Thank you.
Mr. Boucher, it will be your turn to respond first to this question.
With MCLA's Center for Science and Innovation.
I'm sorry, Jen, I have to stop you. I upset the rotation there.
Okay.
It's actually Mr. Alkenbright's turn to answer this question first.
I lost track.
Obviously so, but.
With MCLA's Center for Science and Innovation having recently broken ground, what are your plans to make use of its presence to benefit the city as a whole?
Well, I think, thank you, Jennifer. I think that, you know, one of the things, one of the conversations I've had with Dr. Grant is, in a short amount of time, so sometime within the next 3 to 6 months, we need to bring heads in this community together to try to figure out exactly what the ripple effect would be from a $40 million Center for Science and Innovation. I think we don't know that. I don't think anyone's clearly got their head wrapped around it. But the idea is, you know, if you look at the huge chip plant that they're putting out in Malta, and we've already seen a ripple there. Within 60, 80, 100 miles, things are happening because of it. So what can happen in the city because of the Center for Science and Innovation? Can another campus come to the community? Can we really ramp up our programming within the high schools and within the college to point our youth in the towards engineering degrees? It's funny because I don't know quite how to answer that, but I do know that we need to put heads together soon to really start to figure out what that ripple effect can be, what jobs can create, what other industries or what other small businesses can come as a result of it, and I believe those talks are in the future, and I certainly look forward to being a part of it.
Thank you. Your response?
You know, I'm going to agree with Mayor on this one because the unknown potential of this project is unforeseen in what it could bring to the city. In economics, dollars is we don't know, but it's going to be good. And so we don't know what the potential is. But it'll be good. I think we need to get our heads together with MCLA as a city and really partner. And so,
okay. Would the candidates like to move on to another question, or would you like to continue?
Should we high five? That's probably.
Moving on to the next question then, it will be Mr. Boucher's turn to respond first. And what will you do, if elected, to facilitate the establishment and growth of small businesses, both in the downtown and elsewhere?
Well, that comes to an important part of mine, and that's job creation. I think we need to create the condition to make North Adams attractive to outside business. And how are we going to do that? We need to get online with the local banks, create financing opportunities. We need to train our people to be ready to step into these jobs that'll come here. We need to have utilities, sewer, water, power ready. We need to have tax incentive packages available to these prospective businesses that want to come here. It's all part, when we go back to earlier, to image, to a community's image. I think it's very, very important. I think we need to be attractive, to have people look at us. And people say, what do you mean by be attractive? And there's a lot of simple things. I go down to Main Street a lot of times, and I look at storefronts, and the windows are filthy and dirty. And, I went by the cinema the other day, and it's a little thing, but it adds up. The vaults are up in their display. And you know, as a leader of the community, it's small, but it means a lot. It's the image you portray. Someone comes in here from the outside, and you go down your main street, and it looks dingy, or you go by it in cinema, and you look, and it's half-lit. I think it's important to present yourself in a very professional and clean manner to people that are looking to come here. But the biggest thing, though, is to create that condition to make it to make us attractive to outside consumers.
Thank you. Your response?
Okay, I guess the only thing I would have to say is I don't know what downtown he visited, Councilor. We have a downtown now that I think is actually prettier than it's been in the last 10 years. We're seeing tables on the outside of restaurants. We're seeing benches, obviously, in the downtown. Pocket parks, more flowers. We've done a lot of things. The street is kept impeccable. Our DPW does a great job with keeping the weeds under control. I think our downtown looks really, really good. I think our colorful crosswalks are just amazing, not only in our downtown, but throughout the community. So I think, quite honestly, I think our city is looking quite spectacular at this point in time, and I think it's only going to get better over the next couple of years.
Thank you. Your response?
Again, Mayor, I wasn't saying that downtown is a dump. What I'm saying is image is important. When someone comes into our community from outside our community, first impressions are last. And I think it's important to be in top shape. It's almost a...
Thank you. Mr. Albright, it will be your turn now to answer the same question.
Okay, we're talking about jobs.
What will you do, if elected, to facilitate the establishment and growth of small businesses both in the downtown and elsewhere?
I think we'll continue to do exactly what we've been doing. We've instituted a formal planning process that we're moving forward with quite quickly. I think that's something that's a community-driven planning process. Some people like it, some people don't, I do. We're a $36 million business, we need a direction. I want to talk a little bit about jobs and growth. Over the last 2 years, we've had desperados. If Excelsior Print has shown growth. Berkshire Anodizing has shown growth. All job growth. The Dollar Tree has brought in growth. Car rental, that's going to be 8 to 12 jobs in the community. Walmart is happening. If you haven't seen drive down, you'll see there's work being done right now. The Center for Science and Innovation and other things. When we talk about growth, again, I mentioned some of these. I'm going to just read a list for how much time there?
A minute 15.
A minute and 15 should be perfect. Car rental, Desperados, Shima, Creation, Sheer Madness, all expansions. I Got Goodies, Bark and Cat, new business. Excelsior Print, Sushi House, Caridi's Auto, rebuilding. Hemingway, Suncatchers, Berkshire County Construction has added a whole other concept to their business. Huge investment in the Holiday Inn. The juvenile court staying for another fiscal year. UCLA, the things that are happening here. A massive solar project that is currently in negotiation. I think we've grown, when you consider that nothing else has grown in this country, when you consider the financial condition this country is in, and this area is in, and I think Massachusetts has done a wonderful job of managing their money and managing their processes, and I think we followed along. We have not missed a beat here. I think we've done very, very well, and we're going to continue to grow.
Thank you. Your response?
Mayor, I got this out the other day. It says the mayor outlines current and future growth opportunities and outlined many of the positive economic things that happened since I took office in January. And you talked about the Super Walmart, but I believe that was constantly under the prior administration. You talk about solar initiative, that solar initiative project, I don't believe is anywhere near happening. I believe that individual is having a hard time getting financing, and we probably won't see that happen in maybe 2 to 3 years. Car hardware, move from one place to another. We talked about the derelict housing, the derelict building apartments, $3.5 million in improvements. That's HUD money, that's federal money. That's nothing happened through the city. So I just see a lot of lateral moves, and you replace one empty place with another. So,
thank you. Your response.
Thank you. And I really don't care what administration Walmart came under or whatever. It really doesn't matter. We're seeing it through to the finalization of it. It will be built, and it will be a 12 to 15 million, I believe, in investment. $3.5 million in investment over the housing units. $50 million here, $7 to $12 million, and that solar project. I don't read your information, Council, but the solar project is moving. $7 to $12 million. We could have, theoretically, in the next year, and if we build a school, and I'll say glass half empty, one school, we could have $100 million in construction.
Thank you, Mr. Alvarez. Mr. Alvarez, you will be the first to respond to the following question.
What will you do to bring larger businesses to the city, and what types of businesses? Manufacturing, retail, or otherwise? Do you feel the city's position to draw in?
Do I feel the city's position
to draw in? What types of businesses?
Oh, to draw in. I said right along, I said it in the last campaign, I'll say it now, we can't leave any stone unturned. We need to have a multifaceted economy. Our economy is fine, but it will not be the end all to our fiscal recovery in this community or in this area. I think what I've done is to establish relationships with other communities, certainly with our neighboring communities, reestablishing those commitments, working with the Berkshire Chamber, now one Berkshire's, working with Berkshire Regional Planning, developing a very close relationship with Mass Office of Business Development. Those relationships are what brought that WCW, the mattress manufacturer, to our doorstep. Those are what are happening. We can't leave any stone unturned. We need to look for small businesses that employ 3 people, and we need to look for larger businesses that employ 300. So, I mean, for me, it's just knocking on every door, not saying no to any reasonable request. Right now, we've had people, probably 4 or 5 in the last, probably in the last 4 or 5 months, that have called and just are looking for land, developable land, or larger buildings within the community for all different types of things, to include manufacturing. So I'm very hopeful for our future. I think that continued partnerships, developing and procuring the partnerships that I've developed over the last 2 years, we need to continue that. We just need to keep knocking on doors and working hard.
Thank you. Your response?
Thank you. Mayor, you. As mayor, I would keep myself at arm's length. You mentioned the Berkshire Regional Planning Commission. I believe that Berkshire Regional Planning held up the Lowe's project for over 9 months because of the NEPA process, doing environmental impact studies. And because of that, with the downturn in the economy, we lost the opportunity to have a Lowe's here. That's just what Berkshire Regional Planning did by stepping in on that. So, you know, I would keep them at arm's length if I become mayor. But going back to job creation and drawing businesses here within the city, it all goes back again to create the conditions to make North Adams attractive to outside businesses. And again, we talk about having the banks online, training our people to be ready to get into these jobs, having the property readily available.
Going out to stop the distribution. Your response?
Well, I'm really disappointed in that, Councilor. I think when you talk about putting Berkshire Regional Planning at arm's length, Berkshire Regional Planning did not tie, they may have through the NEPA process, but the DEP tied up the Walmart through the environmental processes. Those are things that have to be done. I think, you know, right now, what I'm hearing from a statement like that is back to basics really means back to past practices. And I really, I'm very disappointed that, you know, we can't be forward enough looking to say the first original planning that all entities, all communities in this
Mr. Boucher, it's now your turn to answer the same question.
Well, I go back to the first original planning. Again, if they stepped in here, they got in the way of this process. Lowe's made a bet, might have been here if they didn't step in for just 9 month delay. You know, again, you're a fan of it, I'm not. That's what we differ. We differ in our approach on things. This whole project could have happened. But it didn't. We talk about building our economy, great opportunity for it. Now the downturn, unfortunate downturn of the economy, it's not going to happen. So.
Thank you. Your response.
Are you saying Lowe's is going to happen?
Lowe's not going to happen.
Lowe's, I would like to differ. I would like to differ that we're thinking Lowe's will not happen. I don't know when Lowe's will happen, but I would also suggest that with the Super Walmart coming to town, and as that's being built, that would give the impetus to any developer. To the developer currently that owns it, but any retailer, it would give them the impetus to come in and look at the lot further to the south where Lowe's was going to go. Now that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be Lowe's, but it could be anybody, and I hope it is Lowe's. But those discussions will happen as Walmart develops. And I think, quite honestly, the problem with the Lowe's development was a downturn in the economy, and it was also the fact that Lowe's did not have a significant amount of trust in the traffic counts that were presented to them. Big deal for these retailers. Well, with Walmart coming, those traffic counts will improve themselves, and I think any retailer will now be anxious to jump into that next parcel.
Thank you. Your response?
Well, again, I don't believe Lowe's is coming here. I would prefer the Lowe's over a Super Walmart, but Super Walmart is not that bad, but the quality of the Lowe's, I would prefer for our city, but we'll live with the Super Walmart, and hopefully I believe they may be starting construction down here yet, but they started breaking down some buildings, which is a great thing to see. So hopefully everything will move forward, and we'll have some good positive change.
Mr. Boucher, thank you. Mr. Boucher, it's your turn to answer the following question first. Enticing visitors of Massanutten to spend time downtown has obvious benefits for the small business owners of the city. What will you do to encourage that flow of traffic to Main and Eagle Streets and elsewhere in the downtown area?
Yeah, that's been a real issue. I've talked to quite a few people, and it's almost like Mocha's a city within a city, and when people go there's no reason to leave. There's restaurants there, there's everything there. As mayor, I would find a way to get people to find their way downtown. It was by signage, I know there was talk of last few years of painting footprints in the sidewalks to get people to leave Mocha and go down. We can go downtown. I think we do get some flow. Talking to Kate Schilling from the Hub, and she says, look, majority of her customers, a lot of them, besides the regulars, are visitors from Mocha. So I do believe they do find their way downtown. I think we need to do a better job as a community to showcase our businesses we have downtown. And maybe that's through brochures there or information booth or something, but to get the visitors that do go to Mocha to come downtown.
Thank you. Your response?
Thank you. I think it's just continued hard work. I've been talking to Joe Thompson for several years on ways that we, how do we get those 150,000 visitors every year, whatever that number is, get more of them into the downtown. One of the things that's going to be interesting is the back of Mocha that was just dedicated, that will create more of a natural walking environment into the downtown, is that road just beyond Subway that sneaks down into the back of Mocha. That has some real possibilities of funneling people not only into the downtown but into the Heritage State Park area. I think that It is a campus within a campus, and I would agree with that. But I also think that our new tourism director, Director of Tourism and Cultural Events, Veronica Bosley, will be working hard this coming into this next tourist season to find ways to work hard with Boca, to find ways to make some of these things happen.
Thank you. Your response?
Yeah, I think that the development of that second entrance to Moca will be a connector to the, hopefully, to downtown and into the Heritage State Park. It can only help, and I look forward to seeing that happen.
Thank you. Mr. Alkenbright, it's now your turn to answer the same question.
Just briefly, I think one of the other things that we can do, and I've already spoken to our Director of Tourism, is and work with Mass Mocha to create a small tourist booth within the campus, somewhere within the parking lot area, that when people come out, they will be able to engage with someone on what there is to do in North Adams, and keep that current. So when someone walks out, they're handed something that says, this is what you can do with the rest of your day, whether that be a trip up Mount Greylock, or a trip up to the downtown, or Heritage State Park, or to a steeple cascade. I think we can really find ways to engage with Moca visitors as they're leaving the campus in a much better way, much more efficiently.
Thank you. Your response?
Just touching, you touched on tourism, and the thing that kind of astonished me this year was the tourism booth on Union Street is not open at all this year. And over years and years and years, we've had a lot of volunteers that wanted to man that booth, and a lot of people from different areas had stopped there, signed the book, and we give them directions to downtown business and local merchants, and I'm just surprised to see that it was closed this year. I think it's unfortunate.
Thank you. Your response?
I agree. It was unfortunate, and we intend to have it fully operational in the spring of next year. We're going to redo the landscaping there. We're going to do some work to the facade, to the exterior of the building, clean up the interior. I know Veronica has already made plans to speak with people as far as volunteerism is concerned. We do have that as a priority for the spring. It was a shame. We didn't have a tourist director for much of the summer, and it did fall by the wayside. But I'll take responsibility for that. But it will be up and open in the spring.
Thank you. Mr. Alkenbright, it's your turn to answer the following question. First, with the vibrant arts community, North Adams boasts, in what ways will you encourage its continued development to the benefit of both the artists, galleries, and the city itself?
I think what it is artists in this community need the support of the administration, the administration and the government within the city. I think right from the get-go, I think the arts community has known that I've given them my full support. Everything we've discussed, public murals, other types of public art, obviously the crosswalks that you see every day, and those types of things. But I do think that, I think a lot of it, artists are creative, and they're going to find their own way. And I think that part of our economy will also continue to grow and find its own way, providing they have the support of the government, of the local government. And I just intend to continue to provide that support. The other thing that I think is important, as many communities have done, is to look at defining art districts within the community, whereby artists can live and actually sell their materials literally outside of, within their house, within these districts. Some have even gone so far as to make them, I believe these art districts can sell their wares without paying state tax on the profits from those wares. So I do think there are things that we can do with the art community to help it grow. I think the biggest thing we can do is just be supportive of their ideas, because they have some wonderful creative ideas.
Thank you. Your response?
Yeah, I agree. I think the artists need our continued support. I think they play a vital role in our economy here in North Berkshire, in North Adams. If you go up to the Eclipse Mill, any of the economic industry, it's pretty amazing when you go inside there and you see what actually happens inside those lofts. So there's some talented people there, and it's pretty amazing. I'll mention Gail Sellers' place. I think you do great things there, with great product, and I think it's great. I think we need to continue to support the arts and downstreet art, and continue to support those programs. I think it's important.
Thank you. Your response?
I'm probably going to move on.
Yeah, awesome.
If that's okay.
Both of them?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Given the time, I think at this time, I'd like to invite the candidates to make their closing statements. And we will be starting with Mr. Alkenbright first, when you're ready.
Thank you. Once again, thank you to the transcript, to the chamber, MCLA for this opportunity, and Council Bullshit, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Mayor.
Let me make one thing very clear. This city and the people who live here are my single priority, and I will continue to commit my time and talent to work towards growth and development. I'm committed to job creation through growth in all sectors, and I will pursue any and all economic opportunity. I will continue to work with Berkshire Regional Planning and our community to develop a long overdue formal plan and strategy for development. We need to continue this process to establish an overall effort led by me, but driven by the voices of the community as together we set direction for growth. I will continue to partner with our Northern Berkshire neighbors to look at ways we can work collaboratively for the good of the greater region. I look forward to furthering my relationship with MCLA, recognizing this college as a driving and substantial economic and social force. I will continue to support our school system at levels that will allow our children to flourish. And I will not let political pressure compromise my position on our new school building solution. I will continue to act in what I think is in the best interest of our children. I will continue to provide fiscal integrity and community stewardship. My record with respect to the budget has received accolades from our auditors and the Mass Department of Revenue, and we still have much to do as I continue to put our fiscal house in order. I will continue to make the tough decisions that you elected me to make. I will not allow my own political collateral to get in the way of those decisions. I believe my actions over the past 2 years bear that out. Like me or not, you can always trust me. And finally, I will continue to be accessible, transparent, and hold true to my values, values that have been instilled in me through my faith, through my family, and through my friendships. And so I thank you all for being here tonight, and I humbly ask for your continued support on November 8th. Thank you.
My first 10 years on the City Council, I was fortunate to be part of North Adams economic resurgence. The North Adams model on how we use the arts as an economic stimulus was being used by communities around the country. A few years ago, AP Magazine called us one of the 5 hidden jewels of New England, after once calling us a sorry gateway to anywhere. Over the past 20 months, there's been a reversal upward direction that North Adams is moving on. We are no longer viewed as the cultural center of the Berkshires. This title now belongs to Pittsfield. In a recent survey conducted at the Boston Globe of Cultural Attractions in Massachusetts, North Adams is not even listed on the list why Pittsfield is rated as number 18. The story begins, written about North Adams these days, are no longer as glowing as they once were. On July 31st of this year, the front page of the Sunday edition of the Boston Globe was a story about North Adams being the poorest community in the state. When Mayor Albright was asked by the reporter to rate North Adams' financial position on a scale of great to horrible, they were just a little bit below horrible. Is this how the mayor rates the city? Imagine a business considering locating in North Adams and you read this that article. Mayor Albright let the reporter go on challenges for portrayal of North Adams, the most important economic development tool for a community's image. The image created by this story, validated by the mayor, has made job growth in the city all more difficult. 2 years ago, in a debate, Mayor chastised former Mayor Barrett because North Adams is one of the 10 poorest communities in the state. Under Mayor Albright's leadership, we are now number 1. The failure of the Albright administration to create an economic development strategy to address the shrinking economy base in North Adams cost the city millions and lost economic stimulus money. Adams and Pittsfield received grants of $2 million and $2.4 million, respectively, for economic development projects. North Adams received nothing. The Albright administration never applied for funds, as it had no economic development plan. While the mayor was holding visioning sessions, Adams and Pittsfield are moving forward with projects which create badly needed jobs.
Mr. Boucher, I'm sorry, your time is up.
Okay.
Thank you very much.